Hello, Laura. How are you going?
I'm very good. I've actually been doing a whole lot of things that are not art related. I've been in my garden.
Oh, yeah.
And yesterday I was declaring my green thumbs.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been having a great time planting out new things and getting stuck into some of those areas that we've been neglecting.
Don't buy your wife flowers, buy her plants.
Yes, that's right. I like plants. Yeah. But anyway, back on to art, since this is an art podcast. And I thought this week we could chat about some ways to bring a bit of ease and simplicity into your art practice. And I say that because I'm noticing as I look around on social media that for a lot of people, this is a really tough time to keep your creative practice going. So there's people that have kids at home. There's people that have extra shifts at work because remember, you know, during this time, there are some industries that are actually very busy, like supermarkets and things like that. So there are some people that are actually finding that they have more work during this time. There's other people that are caring for elderly, keeping an eye on them, going out and doing their grocery shopping, and they've got their hands full making sure that everyone that they love and that's around them is okay. So with all that going on, it can be hard to keep your art, you know, going and maintain some momentum. So I've had to think about some of the things that have helped me over the years to keep making art even when you're going through some tough times. And this isn't about like putting a lot of pressure on you to make art. It's absolutely okay not to make art at all and just enjoy your creative life in other ways, like gardening, for example. But, you know, if you want to make sure that you are still doing a little bit of drawing or painting, some of these things might help you to just sneak that little bit of artsy time in. Before we get into the podcast, I do want to share a review of the week. And this is just such a lovely review. It really made me smile. I read it out to you this morning. So this review comes from Katie Risco Art via Apple Podcasts USA. And it's called In Love. I absolutely adore listening to Laura and her husband on this podcast. I'm usually listening at night after I've put my kids to bed. They are both so calm and enjoyable to listen to. It has become my favorite podcast to access info as well as to wind down to. Not many artists will share so much, and I find that they are so open and willing. It's really a breath of fresh air for the art world. What I get from Laura is that she is very free. In many ways, art school felt restrictive when I look back at the rules that I learned. I love how Laura shares how she plays with art a lot. Lets her brushes get muddy to see what happens. This is the kind of stuff we learn as children, and it's so great to be playful with art. It keeps things loose instead of getting too serious. And that's another point. I gather that Laura doesn't take herself so seriously. I think she's an incredible artist, but I love the devilish laugh she can have while talking to her husband. The world really needs more of these two. Tune in and turn it up. Very inspiring and highly informative.
I like the way she says the devilish laugh she can have while talking to her husband.
While laughing at her husband.
She's laughing at his husband, yes.
But, you know, what I take from that, the comment about not taking yourself too seriously. And this is one of the things that I've realized plays a big part in my art practice is that when I start taking myself too seriously, then it just, things just seem to tighten up and I don't enjoy my art as much. And sometimes I just have to remind myself too. Like I have to just say, you know, don't take it so seriously, Laura. Just have a bit of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Mess around. It's just paint, it's paper, it's collage, it's whatever it is that you're working on. And it's not something you need to take too seriously. Anyway, that was a beautiful comment. So I just wanted to say how much we appreciate getting those reviews. They really are a bright spark in our day. They often come through in the morning and I'll read them out to you.
Yeah, thanks very much, Katie.
I just want to mention our featured class of the month, which is Flourish and Flow. So this class is all about painting botanicals and including them in your abstract art. And if anyone has been following my Instagram lately, they'll see that I'm having a little bit of a botanical moment. And a lot of that is inspired by this class. Now, we made this class about 2 years ago, but I'm enjoying getting back into some of those techniques where I use acrylic ink to get a very flowy, loose kind of botanical effect, and I incorporate that into an abstract background. So if that sounds interesting and something that you'd like to learn, you get all the fun of like mixed media and acrylic, but also the loose, delicate quality of acrylic ink, which can almost look like watercolor. So for me, it's kind of like the best of both worlds. Head on over to my website, laurahornart.com/classes. Look up Flourish and Flow. And until the 19th of May, you can save 20% on this class, which brings it down to $28. And the coupon code is FF2020. So I've had a bit of a think about a few things that you could do in order to keep your art going if you're busy at the moment. You don't have a lot of time. And a lot of these things are things that I've done in some shape or form over the last few years, and I felt like that they have all benefited my creative practice. So one thing I think is helpful is to not think about the end outcome. So not be so focused on creating a finished painting, but instead do something that will help you create more paintings in the future. So I call this tip, do something for your future self. So instead of painting a whole painting, focus in on a process and create some reference material. So let me explain that or unpack that a little bit. Some of the things that you could do are create a catalog of all your favorite kinds of mark making. So scribble all your pens and just build up like a library of different types of marks. You could do the same thing with imagery. So at the moment, because I'm working on some botanical paintings, I've been painting simple little botanical studies on small pieces of watercolor paper. And I'm building up a collection of those so that I can look at them later when I'm painting and go, I'd like to bring something in, an image, and I can look at my library of images. Another idea is to create a stash of collage papers. So anyone who's been following along with us will know that we created a free class about collage. So something like that is great because you're just creating like part of the process, not necessarily the whole thing. So just create some papers. If you want to make it even simpler, prepare backgrounds in your sketchbook. Just paint backgrounds ready to paint, or prepare your canvases. Get out your gesso and get canvases ready. So just some small part of the process that your future self will thank you for later, when you have a bit more time and you can pick up those canvases and they're ready to go, or open up that sketchbook and you've got a page that you've already got a background that's inviting you to create a little bit more on top of it. So I think these sorts of things are very useful. You know, swatch out all your watercolor paints. I love to look at my swatches when I'm painting to get ideas for color palettes. So if you don't have a lot of time, just do something like that. Do an inventory of all your supplies. Because you often forget about what you have. So imagine just sitting down and getting all your pastels out, doing a little scribble, seeing what colors you have, your watercolor pencils, your pens, giving them a clean, sorting them out. And then you still feel like you're doing something towards your art without the pressure of having to paint a whole painting and finish something. And these are things that are helpful later on. It's a good thing in a way sometimes to not have enough time to do the bigger jobs, because then you do the little jobs that help you in your art practice.
That reminds me of Sanal, because you asked her, did she paint all of our pages of our scrapbook, our sketchbook? And she said, no, they're already that color. But imagine you painted a sketchbook, all these colors, and then you just left it. And then you came back and you had all these awesome colored pages to paint on.
Well, that was actually an idea that I got listening to Sanal talk about her sketchbooks the other week. And I thought, how awesome it would be to have all those background colors. Now, if you can find the sketchbook that she uses, that would be an easier way to bring a bit of ease into your eyes, to think about what kind of materials you use that could help you. So a colored sketchbook could be a way of bringing in, I guess you're kind of like taking away a step by having the paper colored already. But otherwise, painting them would be a fun exercise to do. Very simple. You wouldn't have to think too hard. But at the end of it, you'd have all these awesome surfaces to work on in different colors. Speaking of that podcast, I actually just want to mention, so that was Sunal Nathwani's podcast episode from last week, episode number 88, The Power of Sketchbooks, which actually leads me into the second thing that I want to talk about, which is reaching for your sketchbook. Because if you don't have a lot of time, working in your sketchbook can be a fantastic way to keep things going. And Sunal mentioned that sometimes she only spends 10 minutes on a sketchbook page, and it's part of her warm-up for her studio days. You know, she goes in and she works on a sketchbook. Some days she spends 10 minutes, some days an hour. But I think having a sketchbook is a great way to enable you to do art in the cracks. You know, maybe leave it on your kitchen table open and keep it simple. Many of Sunal's sketchbook pages are just pencil on paper, and she does lovely drawings of flowers, really scribbly, loose drawings. And she talks about this in the podcast, the power of a pencil and getting to know what kind of line quality you like. So do you like sharp lines? Do you prefer smudgy, messy line work? The way that you use line is so powerful in your art. It's a way of expressing yourself and showing your style as an artist. So I feel like getting back to a sketchbook practice could be a wonderful kind of offshoot of this challenging time that we're in at the moment. And I know many people commented after that episode that they had done exactly what I thought might happen and dug out sketchbooks and started looking at ways of doing more drawing. Because another thing that Sunal mentions, which I think is a very important point, and she talks about how she trained in a more traditional way, so she can draw very well realistically, and how that has helped her to develop the much looser abstract style that she's well known for today. But she draws great confidence from her ability to draw that allows her to then abstract those things.
Yeah, she said an amazing thing. She said, the fact that I know I can draw realistic still life gives me the confidence to paint abstract. I thought it was like a really cool thing to say.
And you'll often find that when you research the masters and you look at those artists that went in an abstract direction, if you track back and look at their early work, you'll see some technical drawings that they used to do when they were children and things like that. So that's a wonderful point. I think it's a fantastic podcast episode to listen to that would be a wonderful companion to the topic that we're chatting about today. So make sure you listen to that one if you haven't listened yet.
If you're going to take your sketchbook out and you're going to paint every page, or you are going to practice a technique every day, would you set up a little challenge for yourself to say, okay, 5 o'clock every day, I'm going to nip out to the studio or set something up on the table and do something small?
I love challenges. We've talked about them quite a bit in the podcast. And many of my students have gone on to participate in challenges as a way to get them back in front of that sketchbook again and again and put some accountability into place. Either joining an existing challenge that's out there, and there are a whole lot of art challenges that spring up every month. I'm going to have a bit of a hunt because I'm not actually sure of any that are running at the moment, other than the 100-day project, which started back in April. But I'm thinking more of the shorter challenges that are a little bit easier to complete and get that sense of satisfaction. So anything from maybe 7 days to 30 days is a more manageable amount of time. So I'm going to have a hunt to see if I can find any that are coming up that I can share. And if I do find any, I will link them in the show notes. Or else you could come up with your own.
Yeah, I was just about to say that you often do your own challenges at home.
Sit down and brainstorm a list of ideas. You can use words as prompts. Thinking about the type of art that I make, the kind of prompts that I might use would be circles comes to mind. Botanicals, drips, layers, simplicity, black and white, those sorts of things. So I'd come up with a list of words, or you can use like emotional words, you know, like connected, calm, excited and see whether those words provide a prompt for your art. And the idea of a challenge is that it gets you started. It's a springboard for your art making. So you're not thinking so much about what am I going to paint. You've got this blank page in front of you and there's so many options. By having a prompt, straight away you're honing in on something. So if your prompt is circles, you've got something that you can work on straight away. And that's how it brings a bit of calm and ease into your practice, because you're not having to think so hard. You've got an idea and then you can work towards that. So I think challenges are brilliant. And in fact, my mind is kind of buzzing at the moment. I'm thinking we should come up with a challenge.
Yeah, I like the idea of using words.
Words as a prompt.
So, yeah, as opposed to a color or a shape.
Mm.
You know, because people interpret the word freedom, for example, or solitude.
Yeah.
Completely differently.
I actually did that years ago, probably in about 2016 or something like that. I came up with a list of words, and some of them were emotional and some of them were more like words like cluster and just things like that. And interesting words like gentle and strong and those sorts of things. And then did some art based on those. So that could be, that could be interesting.
Would you do weekly or daily?
Probably daily. Something that you could do in maybe 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah. And would you do it like, so would you come up with 10 words, 10 days, 10 minutes?
That would be cool. I like that. 10, 10, 10.
Yep. Mm. Let's do that.
All right. We'll keep that in mind. So we talked about making it simple in your sketchbook and using a pencil and getting back to basics and drawing. And to continue with this theme, I love the idea of simplifying your art supplies and your palette, particularly when you're busy and feeling overwhelmed. There's something so calming about just using a few colors and limiting what you've got available to you. And I think as well, it can be helpful to even pack away some of your stuff. So if your studio is feeling a bit chaotic to the point where you don't know where to start, and this is very personal, it depends on how you work. I know that there are some artists that work best surrounded by loads and loads of mess, and it really stimulates their creativity. But for me, I kind of like to hone in on something and then put other things aside for a bit so that I can focus and really go deep with that particular technique or the supplies that I'm using. And a good example of this is back in, I think it was 2018, I did a series which I called the Neutral Series, very boring name. but it was a series of paintings, and some people might remember these. They were made with Payne's Grey ink and splashes of coffee. So these were super simple. I mean, you really can't get much more minimal as far as the supplies that I was using. But I was able to mix up a really good range of colors. And I was using a lot of wet in wet techniques. So I was making little puddles, adding the ink in. I was getting my skewer and like just manipulating the paint and the coffee and doing all sorts of different patterns. And I painted botanicals, repetitive patterns. I did bring in some mark making with some pen on some of them. So that's another supply that I brought in, pencil. But I kept it very simple. And I found that series to be very relaxing and
grounding.
Do you
know what you also did? What you would do is you would let the puddle of colored water build up and then you would take a dry brush and you would pull the paint out of the puddle and you'd kind of make the stems of a plant.
Yeah, I would drag the paint in different directions. And I learned so much about ink and the ratio of ink to water and how to manipulate ink with different materials, like using, you know, you could use a straw and blow your ink around. You can tip the page and tilt it and drip it. And it amazed me how much I could learn with so little.
You have 12 amazing pieces of art that we sell in the online store, which is closed at the moment because of postage restrictions and that. But of that simple technique, you have these 12 beautiful pieces of art.
And I feel like it was just the tip of the iceberg as far as how far I could go with that. Yeah. There's more pieces that I could create, and I enjoyed the process of keeping it simple. That's definitely one of my suggestions for this time, is to choose a few suppliers, go deep with them. And the last suggestion that I have for this week's episode is to reinvent your existing work.
What, you mean you don't give your work to your husband to take away, to mysteriously disappear?
Well, that's one way of reinventing it.
Would you give me your artwork to disappear? It's kind of like getting rid of a body or something.
make this stuff gone.
Don't let anybody see you doing this.
That's not the gist of what I was trying to talk about here.
Oh, sorry.
So most of us have piles of paintings that we're not quite sure what to do with them. Some of them are experiments that have, I don't want to say gone wrong, but I know people listening know what I'm talking about. The paintings that we're not quite sure about, canvases that you tend to put them against the wall, face to the wall, so you don't have to look at them.
There's one in my storeroom.
That's what I do when I get frustrated with them. I turn them all around so all I can see is the white backs. I don't want to look at that one. That one went off in a crazy direction. So how about taking some of these and reinventing them so that you feel more positive about these pieces? So there's a few things that I like to do. One of them is cutting things up. So getting some scissors out, taking big pieces. Now, you can only do this if they're on paper or they're on unstretched canvas, unless, of course, you take the canvas off of the stretcher bars, then you can cut up the canvas that way. That's definitely possible. But I tend to do it on my paper pieces. So I'll pull out my bigger paper pieces that have gone a bit wild. They're a bit chaotic. And usually there's about 3 or 4 paintings within a painting. And I'll get out a viewfinder, and I usually use the mat out of a frame for this, but you can create your own viewfinder with a piece of paper or cardboard and just cut a square out of it so that you have a window to look through. And you can hold that up, take a look around the painting and see if you can find compositions within a larger piece that work better than the piece as a whole. This isn't hard to do. I can do this with most of my paintings. So when you find something that looks visually appealing, then you cut it out. And you might be able to create several smaller pieces out of one big piece of art. And you'll definitely learn a lot about composition through doing this. And you don't need to know all the fancy names for the different types of compositions, although this can be, that can be helpful. You can Google that. But it's more about just seeing what you like and noticing different things that look good and where the emphasis is in the art. So cutting up paintings is one way that you could reinvent your art without having to spend loads of time on creating new pieces.
Could you take a photograph and use the cropping tool?
Absolutely. That's a great idea. Take a photograph of your art, bring it up on your screen, and then test it out before you even get the scissors out, and create a few different crops, and then go back in and cut out your favorites. So that's a good tip from photographer Richie. So that's one option. The other thing that you could do is hone in on some interesting areas on a painting, and instead of cutting away the things that are too noisy or competing with what you are enjoying, instead of cutting it out, how about covering it up? So you could get out a tub of paint, paint over maybe half of your painting, or even as much as 3/4 of your painting. Or paint over the whole thing if you want to, and just start afresh. Give yourself a fresh slate.
What would you use, a big tub of gesso?
Gesso, I often use Matisse background paint, which is colored gesso, acrylic paint. You could paint over the top of things. You can even paint over watercolor paintings with acrylic paint. You can't cover up watercolor paintings with watercolor, but you can use acrylic over the top of watercolor if you want to. And I sometimes do that as a mixed media effect. I'll keep some of the watercolor background, but I'll use acrylic to add in some breathing space to my paintings. So this could be a way of getting some of those pieces that are facing towards the wall, turning them around, making them feel like a fresh start. And we mentioned earlier in the podcast about how much we loved those backgrounds that Sanal uses in her sketchbook, those bright colored backgrounds. Working on a solid base is super fun, particularly with acrylic painting. One thing you could try, if you don't like a painting at all, pick out one of the colors that's in the painting, maybe the more dominant one. So let's say there's quite a lot of blue in the painting. Just paint the whole painting blue and give yourself a really deep, rich base. Let it dry. And then later on, you could come back to it and you can just keep layering. Because remember, with acrylic, you can keep on layering over the top. So you can reinvent your paintings again and again. The only thing that you will add is texture. So we've talked about my paintings that weigh a ton. So, you know, once you add more layers, you're going to get more texture in there, but you can sand your paintings down if you want to get them smooth again.
You'd have to use an electric sander.
That can be done. You can do that. And it can create another interesting effect, because by sanding your painting, you can get some other textures and you can let some of the underneath layers show through in a very rustic kind of raw way. It's not a technique that I use, but it's one that I see other artists use from time to time. And I've always thought it would be fun to explore. In fact, I asked you the other day for some sandpaper. Do you remember?
Yeah.
So I was thinking about this and looking at some of my paintings that I don't particularly enjoy. And there's plenty of them.
Yeah. It's funny, like talking of layers, I remember when I first started taking photographs of your work, I would bring it into the editing software like Lightroom or Photoshop, and I'd be looking at it saying, what's that black mark? You'd have so many layers on the canvas, they would be casting shadows.
Well, it makes me laugh because we mentioned this on a podcast a while ago, that people thought that I was painting loads and loads and loads of paintings, but I was actually really stingy. I didn't have a lot of money. So all I was doing was painting on the same canvas. And then people would be like, can I buy that painting? I'm like, well,
it doesn't exist.
It doesn't really exist anymore because I've just painted 20 paintings on the top of one substrate. Yeah. So that was painting for me in the early days because I didn't have a lot of space to store canvases or a lot of money to buy canvases.
Yeah.
So as soon as I was done with the painting, I would just turn it upside down, turn it into something else. So on that note, I think we'll wrap it up for this week. I hope you've enjoyed these tips around how to bring a bit of simplicity and ease into your creative practice. Before we go, I have a question for you. While we were recording this podcast, we came up with a bit of an idea around running a challenge. So the idea was a 10-day challenge with 10 prompts and you spend 10 minutes on each one. So if you think that would be a good idea, we would love to hear from you and then we will see what we can do if we can put something together. Thanks everyone for tuning in this week. I hope that you are doing really well. We've received so many lovely messages over the last few weeks around the podcast and how it's helping you out during these challenging times. We really just want to send you some love. We know that this has been a very difficult few months, weeks, I don't know. I don't even know what day it is half the time. It's just been such a up and down time. And I know that everyone's experience of going through a pandemic is different. I guess I'm happy that we've been able to contribute in some small way. Well, that's it for now. I hope that you have a lovely week and that you keep creating in a way that feels good for you. And if you're enjoying the podcast, don't forget to leave us a review over on iTunes and share your stories on Instagram. We absolutely love seeing them. And we also hope that you'll tune in again next week.